In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, brothers and sisters, we see someone who is rich and at the same time is very poor. He's rich in many virtues, but these virtues are not because of God, they're because of his vanity. Yes, indeed. People can do good and be virtuous without depending on God. Then they have no they're actually very poor when they do such things. Now, this man had followed all the commandments, the ones he knew of. And then he went to he who gave the commandments and said, "What good thing shall I do that I might have eternal life?" This man did not understand. He must not have, well, of course he didn't hear yet. The Lord had not yet said to his disciples that he is the vine and that they are the branches. He didn't understand that all virtue comes from God. Anything good he does is by God's help, whether he acknowledges it or not. So if a man does good and does not acknowledge it, then in God's eyes, it is as if the deed never occurred. Because we must depend on God for all things. Because we really, truly are weak. And we can't do anything good without God. But this man did not understand. So he said, "What good thing can I do? What thing can I do? What shall I do?" It's almost like in a like fables, huh? Where someone has to go and do some great feat in order to win the hand of the king's daughter. "What good thing can I do?" The Lord rebukes him in a way that he doesn't understand, unfortunately. He says, "Why do you call me good? There is none good but God." In other words, if you are going to call me good, then abide in me. Follow all that I do. Follow my example and the example of those that I have taught and that will carry on my work. Don't call me good. Give lip service that I am a good person and not see that I am God and that it is not a good thing that I must do to be saved. But instead, it is that I must abide in God and then all good things will happen from God through me. He didn't understand this. He didn't understand the rebuke. Because the Lord said after this, "If you will enter into life, keep the commandments." And that in and of itself is a summation of how to inherit the kingdom of God. But the commandments are not just those of the Ten Commandments. The commandments are the life of him who gave the commandments. We are to become like Christ. We are to give of ourselves as Christ gave. We are to struggle for virtue as Christ was virtuous. The Ten Commandments are really bare minimums. They're only the bare beginning. A man could follow all the Ten Commandments, save, I should say, I guess, to love the Lord with all their heart. If a person loves the Lord with all their heart, they follow all the commandments, right? Because that's the summation of the commandments, right? And this all along the prophets is summed up, to love the Lord with all your heart and your neighbor as yourself. Then all the commandments are obeyed. But other than those things, man could follow all the commandments and be far from God. Because God allows people to do good even if they don't acknowledge him. So he's told, the man is told, follow the commandments. What a silly, stupid question. Which? Which commandments? The one who gives the commandments is standing before you, foolish man. It seems evident. His apostles understood it. Those of the 70, the women that followed him understood. Which commandments? Whatever the Lord does, that is what we should do. We'll follow the Lord and see how he lives, how he acts, how he reacts to situations, what his priorities are, how he prays, how he endures abuse and slander, how he returns love for hate. These are the commandments. The life of the God-man Jesus Christ. Those are the commandments that you should follow. Which commandments? So the Lord humors him a bit, shall we say. All right, if you're not going to really understand, if you want things only in black and white, then I'll give you only a partial answer because you're not worthy of having the full answer. The full answer is, follow me, which you'll have in a moment, but he couldn't understand it. So Jesus says, thou shalt commit no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, shalt not steal or bear false witness. Honor thy father and mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Okay, these things he knows. These things he has read. These things he has memorized. These things he has followed from his youth up. But without dependence on God. Without acknowledging that without God he can do nothing. So he followed these commandments, but he didn't understand their essence. To do something virtuous and not to understand he who is beyond all virtue, who makes us capable of being virtuous, is to not understand at all. So this man followed the commandments from his youth up. Well, la-di-da. He didn't understand a thing about what it means to truly love God and to follow him. And he says, what lack I yet? This man shows he doesn't understand at all. He stands before him who has all things and has created all things, and he says, what do I lack? Well, the contrast should be evident. The apostles saw it. That's why they followed him. That's why they gave up everything and endured hunger and tiredness and abuse and fear and all the rest to follow him. Because they knew what they lacked. And they knew he had what they lacked. And they wanted it. So the Lord tells him a phrase that's often been misunderstood. If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell all that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me. The rich man had many possessions. He was proud of these possessions, or perhaps maybe he was just attached to them. Perhaps he did much good with them. I'm sure he tithed. He was probably compassionate, probably very virtuous, but not virtue according to God, virtue according to himself. Give up an idea that you have virtue in and of yourself. Sell what you have. Give it away. You'll have treasure in heaven. Don't depend on yourself. Depend on God only. Consider yourself to be a pauper, to be cold and naked and in need of clothing and shelter, to have nothing whatsoever to offer God except thankfulness, desire, effort. That's all we can offer God, is ourselves, which is not much. God esteems us for reasons that are known only to him. We certainly can't understand. Sell what you have. Be rid of it. That doesn't mean to divest yourself of all property. If this commandment was taken literally, then the absurdity of no one having anything would occur. Such things are not possible for no one to have anything, for everyone to sell everything they have. This is an impossibility. Indeed, yes, this is speaking of giving alms, but not primarily. It's primarily speaking of, don't count yourself to be rich, yourself to have abilities, yourself to have done anything. Your treasure will be in heaven if you abide in me, if you follow me. The second gospel reading spells it out even more clearly. The Lord says, I am the vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch that beareth fruit, not fruit he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he prunes it, so that it might bear more fruit. This very much describes how fruits are handled on a tree. If you do not bear fruit from the richness of the vine, then you'll be cast away. And if you do bear fruit, some of this fruit might be misshapen, or there might be something wrong with it. The Lord purges those things so that only good, perfect fruit develops. This purging, this pruning, is this chastising of us, this teaching of us. We can only bear fruit because we're part of the vine. This man did not understand, and I dare say most of us, most of the time, are more in the position of this man. Perhaps we're not as virtuous as he was. But that small amount of virtue we have, we forget to thank God for it. We forget that anything that we did was good, that was good, is from the vine. All the nutrients come from the vine. The branches without the vine are dead. The vine can always grow more branches. A branch needs the vine. So, if we are to be perfect, and indeed, the Lord has commanded us to be perfect. It's not something like, if you want to do this, you can do this. No, we must be perfect because the Lord has commanded us to become perfect. Sell what we have. Consider the things that we do in and of ourselves to be, just sell them, give them away, cast them aside, and abide in Christ. Do good through God, because of God. Then we'll have treasure in heaven. Now, the apostles heard this, and I think also some other things the Lord said to them privately. And he said, who can be saved? When the Lord makes this comparison that it is hard for a rich man to pass to be saved. It is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle. A camel is a big, huge rope. And the eye of the needle is this loop through which a portion of the rope was passed. It was used in shipping. But the big, huge rope couldn't pass through the eye of the needle. It had to be separated out a little bit to be able to be connected. Well, how can such things be done? The apostles, how can anyone be saved? Because the Lord presented them an impossibility, something that really can't be done. With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. It is possible indeed to give away all that we have and to believe and understand, to know to the depth of our being that all good that happens through our agency is because of God, and to rejoice that even a little bit we're able to participate in the virtue of God. You know, that's why we do good things, is because it is a privilege to participate in virtue. That's why we fast as well. That's why we give alms. That's why we struggle in any virtuous act, because it is a privilege to serve our King. We who have nothing are made more than conquerors. Didn't we have that? We can more than conquer. We can mount up like eagles. We, who cannot even fly, who don't even have wings. And yet, the Lord will give us wings. The Lord will make us capable. The Apostle Paul, who also saw Christ, but was very unworthy, he said himself. But yet, he was unworthy, even though he was unworthy, the Lord took him and chose him. And he became the apostle to the Gentiles. And the majority of the epistles are in his name. And what did he say? I am the least of the apostles, and I'm not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church. But because of the grace of God, I am what I am. All that I am is because of God. He understood about abiding in the vine. He understood about which commandments he should keep. He should just abide in the vine and follow his Lord, the example of God. Those are the commandments you should keep, all of them. But no matter how many commandments you keep as according to the letter, if in your spirit you are not abiding in God, abiding in Christ, those things are to God as filthy rags. He casts them out, burns them up. We must abide in God. Follow Him. Believe that no good comes in and of ourselves, but because of God. What a wonderful thing it is to do good, because God is making us capable. It is one of the great privileges of being a priest, that through the agency of my actions, despite my unworthiness, good happens. People are comforted. The mysteries are performed. It is a wonderful thing to be able to serve God. But He only wants those to serve Him in humility, acknowledging that without Him they can do nothing. Let us not be like this rich man who was actually very poor. Let us not do good things, but not do them abiding in Christ. Let us, for every good thing that we do, and we should do many, let us thank God that He allows us to participate in such a glorious and a wonderful thing. To be virtuous is to have full joy. Only with virtue can a man be happy. God offers us this virtue, this ability. Let us abide in Jesus Christ and inherit eternal life. May God bless you and help you.